Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello, everybody. I'm Darren Parkinson, and I'm here with my esteemed co-host,
Adam Wozniak.
How are you doing today, Adam?
Doing well. Doing well. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. How's your week been?
Oh, it's been pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
Did you get to see that new Logan movie?
I did not. Yeah. I did not, regretfully.
Unfortunately, I've heard great things. Yeah, I'm excited. If I can find time to get out there, I'll get out there. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Especially if I get like in a matinee or something for $5, sit wherever I want.
Yeah, ideal. Yeah. Black and white last week, this week, now the matinee. You're just fancy, aren't you?
Real fancy.
Yeah, I got you. I mean, I'm the same way. If I'm going to see a movie, like, especially like some of the other Marvel movies, like the Avengers, IMAX is like, you know, the way to go.
Oh, yeah. If it's there, for sure. I know I personally, like, my favorite time to go is like Tuesday at 10:30 a.m.
Yeah.
That's the best, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, the prices there have just been skyrocketing. I mean, you go there. So if you're going to spend that money, you know, you may as well like do it right. Mm-hmm. And then you get hungry and splash out with a bowl of popcorn. And it's like another, like, what, $20? But yeah, you know, it works.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, today we have two very special guests, the owners and CEOs of Cloud9 Smoke Shop. I'm happy here to introduce Sammy Amore and Ben Amore. How are you doing today, guys?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Well. Good.
And to start with you, Sammy, just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're at right now.
We own all our businesses, but we're also a student.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just all about our business. We try to get an education also, but it doesn't mean that you have to have an education to have a business, because we had the business before we had education.
And where are you currently enrolled now?
We're currently enrolled at Kennesaw State University.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. We actually have class together.
Go Owls.
Yeah, go Owls. Hootie Hoot. Do we have a cry yet? Is there anything?
I don't know. I don't know if I want one.
I'm not sure if Hootie Hoot is a joke or if it's like actual battle cry. But,
it's not too bad.
I mean, it puts a smile on people's faces, so that's good.
Maybe we can get some Hooters cheerleaders.
That would be the Hootie Hoot. Yeah, see the connection there. Maybe we could do something about that. But you're a full-time student. You own and operate how many locations now?
We have six retail locations. We also have a wholesale warehouse, and then we have a restaurant and hookah lounge.
Wow, that's crazy. And your partner in crime, Ben?
Yeah, man. I'm graduating in May.
Mm-hmm.
We started this back in 2000. Thank you. Started this back in 2011, and we haven't looked back ever since.
Yeah. And I guess what got you started with that? Because starting a business is a monumental feat to most people, and a lot of people have ideas, but it comes down to the execution. How did you guys execute? What drove you to execute?
Well, my parents wanted to open up a coffee shop, and we said a coffee shop is kind of like a joke, because Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, all that kind of stuff, we're running out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So it started as a coffee shop, then went to a hookah lounge. So then we started having a hookah lounge when we were doing it at retail. We're retailing hookahs, hookah tobacco, all different accessories, hoses, all that kind of stuff. So then we saw a 700-square-foot store across the street. We're like, hey, it's worth the try. So 700-square-foot, it's cheap rent. Let's go ahead and sell hookah and tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we started selling hookah and tobacco, that was our first Cloud9. Cloud9 is supposed to be a hookah and tobacco store. And then we evolved with the market, going into pipes, going into vapes, going into all different kinds of all different kinds of products, but you know, they're all like smoking and vaporizing products.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so this was all started off a suggestion to your parents. How did they take like opening up a tobacco shop?
Well, they really didn't take it very well at all. Actually, they actually neither of them smoke, neither of them drink, so they're very
conservative.
Yeah. So they're very conservative. So that was the issue.
Yeah.
But with the hookah lounge, they saw, because it's kind of like part of our culture, they saw hookah is not as bad as all the other things. They said as long as we're not selling, you know, different weird products. So,
like all the fake weed stuff.
Well, yeah.
We've never sold that, and we never sold bath salts or any weird stuff like that.
Yeah, I forget what it was called, but that would be on spice. Yeah, that was on the news, man.
Yeah.
That'd burn holes in your brain.
Yeah, that's bad news.
Yeah, something that I found interesting about you, Sammy, was because a lot of people, they get into certain businesses because they have experiences with certain things. And you said, yes, the hooker side was part of your culture, but was this something that was part of your lifestyle before that? Like, not just like the hooker, everything else that you do. Because you mentioned to me before, this is something that you didn't actually do. You just kind of were like, you got into it and just got into the business side of it.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different for me and Ben. Yeah. I guess he can tell you his experience.
Yeah.
But before this business, yeah, I didn't know anything about a pipe. I didn't know anything about electronic cigarette, and I really didn't know much about a hookah. I knew that it looked cool. You know, I saw people doing cool smoke tricks and they're relaxing after coffee.
Yeah.
And then for a short period of time, when I was when we started this hookah line, I just started waking up at 8 a.m. smoking hookah, you know? That was just like a morning ritual.
Yeah.
So it became part of my lifestyle, but like actually smoking pipes and stuff like that wasn't really part of my lifestyle. I evolved into, you know, like electronic, people say electronic cigarettes, electronic hookahs. I used to use very little nicotine just to kind of fixate my hookah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's would be my substitute.
So what's an electronic hookah? I've never heard of that.
So an electronic hookah and electronic cigarette depends on what you look at it. People who want to buy an electronic hookah don't want it to be a negative connotation saying that's electronic cigarette. But electronic cigarette and electronic hookah are the same thing. The only difference is...
Okay, so it's like size.
Well, no, they're literally the same exact thing. The only difference is one has nicotine and one doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I understand.
But hookah smokers don't want to be associated with cigarette smokers, and cigarette smokers don't want to smoke a hookah. They want to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of different stigmas and all that wrapped into it.
So what you're saying is you don't have to actually smoke tobacco. You can just get the cool flavoring and learn to blow some interesting... creations and stuff, because that's something like I think that's cool, just that side of it, being able to blow circles. I'm terrible at it. I don't know much about smoking or anything, but I have a cigar every now and then, and I've smoked hookah, and I try every time to blow a circle, and I'm just miserable at it.
If we smoke together, you just give me 7 minutes and I got you.
So I'll be like Gandalf blowing sailboats.
Working on it, kind of. Okay. It'd be more like a snowman or something.
Yeah. More like a snowman. I like that.
So why don't you guys tell me a little bit about your relationship and how y'all work together through with your business?
Well, I'm pretty much the face of the company. I do all the fun stuff. Yeah. And Sammy's the brains of the operation. I order all like the American glass, the high-end stuff that I've built relationships with these people over the years. And Sammy's the king of imports and importing stuff from China and India and all that weird stuff. But
yeah,
he gets it done.
Yeah, so that's one thing that absolutely fascinates me about you guys, because a lot of people just see it like the face of it and see that there's this craze now with vaping and everything. And you see stores popping up all over the place, but you guys have had now you said 6 locations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously you're doing something right and you're doing something different. So what are you guys doing different?
Well, I would have to say the best part about our business is that like at least once a week, we find one of our competitors in our store coming to look around and see what we're doing different than they are. So, and a lot of them start to like replicate their business around ours.
Wow.
So that's
pretty flattering.
Yeah.
And also we have contracts since like past couple of years that nobody can sell the same brands of glass that we sell within 50 miles. We have a lot of contracts.
Wow.
That we pay.
You just zone them out.
Pretty much you can't get it. Like, but we have to, it's minimum order, maybe some 10,000 a month, 5,000 a month, but regardless, nobody in Atlanta is getting it. So,
oh wow.
So it's sort of a little
just
monopoly.
Body the other shops, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
and how did you stumble on that? Because I mean, most people, like, that sounds like a great strategy, but where do you start off to go there? How do you get there?
Well, first off, we tried for a long time, but they wouldn't when you had one store, two stores, three stores. But once you start getting 4, 5, 6, they're like, okay, well, they can sustain the whole Atlanta market with 6 stores or 7 stores. So they just give me the exclusivity. So like, even though you have to pay for it, once you spread it up between 6 stores, it's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Also, they believe like I'd much rather deal with one person in each state and they do $10,000, $20,000 with me a month than deal with 10 people in each state and each person doing $500 an order to make $10,000.
Hmm.
So if they drive all their traffic to one business, then they can just sell it. They can deal with one order shipping out, one order purchasing, making sure everyone gets their money, gets their items, compared to having a whole shipping department just for one state.
Mm-hmm. So what do you look for when you decide to expand? Like when you open up, say, the fourth store, the fifth store, the sixth store, at what point and what do you see that now it's time to expand?
Well, when we have like a certain amount of revenue, mm-hmm. that a store has to sustain, mm. for us to be like, okay, well, the revenue sustaining, the inventory is going well, the products are coming in and coming out very efficiently, that we are able to take on another store, compared to like a lot of, I see a lot of people, they'll just be like, okay, well, I'm going to open a store and open another one. And then they don't train their employees. They don't make sure that the products in the store are the right products. The design, the layout of the store, the lighting, you know, everything in business, they don't look at all the different aspects. So once we feel like we conquered everything in certain aspects, then we go to expand to the next one.
Hmm. Wow, that's great. So it sounds like a very big key to your success is supplier relationship development. And what are some of the key things that you do to help develop those relationships?
Spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
But no, we all go to Vegas for like the shows and stuff, and they'll buy us dinner. We'll all go out to dinner for a few drinks or something like that. And after a while, we've just been dealing with each other for so long, and they see us as younger guys. So they see that we're going to be in business hopefully for a longer time than maybe some of the other guys that just want to get out. So that's why we have some big contracts with some people. Mm-hmm. But that's what, because our competitive advantage, all American made, high end glass. When you come to Cloud9, you're not going into indie and like Chinese, like weird mm-hmm. shop. You're going in a high end glass gallery.
Mm-hmm. And can you elaborate more on the high end glass? Because I was looking on your website, and I've been in your stores a couple times. I think before, like, I even knew you guys, and some of the prices on there, it's like crazy. People spend up to, I saw some of them, like, these glass products for like $3,000. And I mean, it's awesome because, I mean, it's like functional art, and that's the way I kind of see it. But can you elaborate and help me out a little bit more on this?
Yeah. Well, the people that make these pipes, mm-hmm. most of them don't even smoke. They're artists. Mm-hmm. They just are like, yeah, we could put a bowl on here and charge twice the price and people will buy it. But it's cool because you've seen them. Some of them are sculpture arts that you didn't even know they're pipes and that they could put on their, like, in their china cabinets. And some of these artists have such crazy followings that these guys will come out and show $5,000-$10,000, depending on the piece and how rare it is.
Mm-hmm. Or that mothership that's $110,000 that sold. It just depends on what it is, you know. Yeah. And that's really what makes us different is, you know, you can get a Chinese or Indian pipe. The quality is not the same. They might look similar, mm-hmm. but the actual functioning of it is not the same. There's places you can get actually scientific glass blowing degrees.
Really?
Yeah.
And with legalization coming closer, that it's still not federally legal. So these guys that are owning these dispensaries, they don't know where to put their cash in. So it doesn't sound like a bad idea to buy a $100,000 pipe and just throw it under the bed than having $100,000 cash and not knowing what to do with it because it's still an investment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, with all these glass pipes of American, do y'all buy any from any local artists?
Yeah, we do. But the only problem with buying local is that these guys locally can just hit them up on their Instagram or Facebook and buy it direct from them. So that's the only problem we've ever had with dealing with local artists. But for the most part, we buy a lot of local, just hand pipes, small little stuff. But the higher end stuff, they usually go straight to the blower themselves.
Yeah, because the issue is like there's been a lot of like business relationships that we had to cut off just because they'd sell us a product for X amount of dollars, and then the MSRP would be, let's say, it would be like $500. Let's just say the retail would be $500. He'd retail them from himself to the supply to the actual customers for like $350 or $400 or $425. Mm-hmm. So he'd be undercutting us, but he'd expect us to support him. Now, it's hard to support someone who was undercutting your prices.
Yeah.
Dang.
At the end of the day, he creates like he's like your competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it. So he can charge whatever he wants for it.
And he can do any color you want that you ask, custom, everything. So we have no chance, we have no shot competing with.
Yeah.
So other than that, were there any other sort of pitfalls or initial like setbacks that y'all had, other than, I guess, dealing with being undercut?
Well, it's pretty tough just getting someone to let you open a smoke shop in their retail store. So you got to sort of build relationships with landlords, pay your rent, and before time is like, luckily we have a landlord that runs 3 of our shops, and he has another like 20 shopping centers that he's cool with us having our stores in.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the biggest setback, is calling somebody and being like, hey man, I want to open a smoke and vape shop. And they'd be like, hang up on us.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So that was the first initial setback. But as we got our name out and got billboards and everything, people were more like in tune to listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the hardest part, was trying to expand in nice retail spots.
Mm-hmm. So been building the relationships with the commercial realty landlords, was, you know, that was paramount to you guys expanding mm-hmm. and starting out to begin with. What other sort of relationships, relationship building would y'all say were crucial?
Well, it depends on where you're actually at, you know. Like for wholesale, Ben will be making business relationships with the high-end glass companies. But like, for instance, I ordered a lot of the vape juice, so I have to make sure to have good relationships with all the juice manufacturers. Or if I'm buying electronic cigarettes, I have to have a business relationship with the e-cig manufacturer. And generally with the quantity that we're getting, I talk directly to the owner. We both do. We don't talk to sales reps. We talk to the owner, because the owner will give us a better deal. And because we're buying volume, compared to most people who might spend $1,000 with them or $500 with them, mm-hmm. we might spend $10,000 or $20,000 with them. So our discount and our buying power actually allows us to expand.
Wow. So yeah, I think a wise man once said, scared money makes no money.
Young Jeezy.
Yeah. it's awesome that you guys are, you know, you have this confidence to get out there and do that and, you know, take these risks, and to see it like take off like this, it's great. And I also have to congratulate you on making it to the top 25 and the KSU top 100. Congrats.
You as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Lucky enough to make it through, and, you know, excited for this Thursday coming up. How's that prepping going?
We really haven't done much. We've been working so much and going to school, but we have this weekend to work out.
Yeah, we actually made our speech when we got there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, last time I also, I kind of winged it, because I had all these ideas, and the last round, the top 50, for the listeners, we had to do a 1-minute pitch in front of a live panel of judges. And let me tell you, that was very difficult, because I had all these cool ideas how to set this up, say this, say that. And when I got to the intro of all these cool ideas, I was like 45 seconds in, and I was like, wow, what am I going to do? And the whole time I'm sitting there just like, man, I'm not sure how I'm going to pitch this. I don't know. How do you explain a company in 1 minute? So how did you guys do it?
Well, we did 30 seconds, which was good, because I could memorize easy 30 seconds. Yeah. And I pretty much went into the business and the easy part, and I let him do the financials. Yeah. And I think they were pretty impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And
So I just kind of explained that, you know, I can create any product that you want in China, you know. It's mm-hmm. not even just our products. If the judges want to create a product, I'll make it for them. That's not an issue,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think that's really our business. You know, we do retail, but we also create innovative products every day,
mm-hmm.
and are thinking of how to expand and change the industry as a whole.
And for the top 100, what can you explain what you guys are doing with that?
Well, for the KSU Top 100, we are showing our warehouse and trying to scale our warehouse and our retail locations.
Mm-hmm.
And And that's really all. That's really all it is. But I mean, I can get into the if you'd like, I can get into the warehouse or retail location. Or,
I mean, as much as you feel free, like you know, talking about like just I'm just interested in learning too. I mean, this is
So pretty much the warehouse. We sell like all different kinds of electronic cigarettes. We are hookahs, pipes. We supply our competitors and some people who aren't our competitors, but it's good because we build customer relationships with our competitors. So you can be like, okay, well, this is the product that you're buying, and this is the retail price, this is the wholesale price, and if you want to sell it for less, I'm just not going to sell it to you anymore because I have the exclusivity of it anyways. So there's nothing you can do about it. You can call and tell them I have $100,000. I still won't sell to you.
Yeah, that's great. And also, I gotta ask, because you mentioned you do business like in China. How, like, I mean, you're still a student and you're doing international business with China. How did you even, like, where did you start with that?
Well, first I started with like online websites like Alibaba and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and I realized that they at the time didn't take American Express. So American Express is definitely key for international business because if they don't send you your stuff. You'll call American Express and be like, listen, they didn't send me my stuff. I need my money back. Perfect. And they'll give you your money back instantly. You don't have to wait. Visa and MasterCard are not as good in customer service. Shout out to American Express, I guess. Right? I started with these online websites. Then I started building, I started asking them directly for their WeChat. It's kind of like WhatsApp, the app. But WeChat is a little different. In China, you can actually pay for it, like Apple Pay and stuff like that with WeChat. But I talk to them directly. You have video calls. You can have normal phone calls. Or you just have text messages.
And surprisingly how many Chinese people speak English. It's not the greatest English, but they try. Like, they try to talk to Sammy.
Yeah. And go ahead.
So do you know any Chinese?
Actually, I don't, but I do have a partner in one of my business ventures that speaks fluent Cantonese and fluent Mandarin. So that really helps a lot.
Yeah. And have you actually ever been to China?
I'm trying to go on April 24th for the Canton Fair, but. I don't know if school's gonna allow me to do so, but that's what I want to do.
So you're doing all these deals and all this relationship building in China. You've never been there.
Yeah, I've never.
That is incredible to me. That's awesome.
I've never been to China ever, and they actually make all my products for me. I've never been to their facilities, but I have heard them just say, "Hey, how are you?" and wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
And how is that dealing with the time difference? Because I mean, I'm originally from South Africa, and you know, communicating with family back home is always an interesting struggle. But when it comes to a business, how is that?
Well, it depends. Because Chinese, not being like racist or anything, but Chinese people are pretty consistent and persistent for you to respond to them. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, here when we text someone like once or twice, even like three times, you're like, hey, okay, I get it. This guy doesn't want to talk to me right now. But like at 3 o'clock in the morning, like they'll message me 3 or 4 times. And then if I don't respond in like 30 minutes, they'll respond, they'll hit me another 4 or 5 times. And then they'll call me 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And you know, it'll be like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm still sleeping. But from like 1 to 5 o'clock in the morning, there's messaging, calling. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so it sounds like you went into business with your crazy ex-girlfriend.
pretty much.
That's funny, but
a little worse.
Yeah. So do you wake up at 3 a.m. to get this done, or do you just sit there and let it build up? Or I mean,
it depends how long I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
If I was waiting for a response like for days, then yeah, I'll go ahead and just wake up and get this thing done because I've been waiting for days.
Yeah.
But if it's if I haven't been waiting for days, I'll be like, hey, I was waiting in the morning because they generally go to bed around noon our time. Mm-hmm. So if I can wake up around like 8 or 9, I can go ahead and get a couple hours of stuff done.
Yeah. So, because I mean, yesterday we have we're in the same class, and we've had a few classes together, but this is really like kind of where our relationship took off. And then I'd met your awesome brother, Ben.
But for me,
I mean, the biggest lesson I learned with you and your brother is just, this is the biggest case, and I say this all the time because it really, like, I feel like it can really, like, you know, make people think differently about certain things. And to me, you guys are the biggest case of don't judge a book by its cover, because for me, I mean, you guys, like, on the surface level, I mean, you guys, you know, you just like I'm not sure I can, like, take this. I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I mean, you guys are just, like, you know, seem like just regular guys, you know, you're goofy, you joke around, you know, it, like, you see some of these, like, business gurus, and I mean, they're dressed to the nine all the time, they live by, like, the schedule, and, you know, I mean, you can just see it. But you guys, and it took a while to realize, and I think the moment I realized that is when we went on the entrepreneurship retreat, and we're sitting around a campfire doing our, like, team building exercises and stuff like that, and Sammy was sitting around there just joking, having fun, talking about you know, just stuff with friends, you know, just like a typical person would. And he had the confidence to get up and start a rap battle. He's not a rapper by any means, and he started a rap battle with somebody that's an established rapper. And just in front of that, and I thought that was cool enough on its own. But then I found out later that this man is also, like, negotiating deals in China while he's sitting around doing this all. And that's when I was like, man, this is, like, this is someone special. And then, like, I went further. And, like, so in class yesterday when I said, they asked, like, who's our mentor? And I said your name. I wasn't like, you know, like BSing you or anything. I really do look up to you as a mentor. I mean, you've taught me a lot just in the small time I've known you and got to know you. And also to get to know you, Ben, we went, I mean, 2 o'clock in the morning, we went to Waffle House on that trip. And just the way you talked about business and the way you talked about things and just actually getting to know you, not just the surface level, like, you guys are incredible people. And it's just, It was just a really awesome experience, and I've learned so much from you guys. So I thank you guys for that.
I appreciate the good words, man, yeah. And we feel the same. I know.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Thank you for what you said. But I mean, you're an awesome person.
I mean, yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah, the show's not about me; it's about you guys. So, yeah. You know.
No, but
I appreciate it.
No. But overall, yeah. No, you've taught me a lot. You've always been the devil's advocate when I need it.
Yeah.
So. You know, I really appreciate that, and just, we always have good conversations, yeah. So it's good.
But yeah, just to highlight, it's because of our industry as well that we were allowed to not be dressed to the T, or we can, mm-hmm. Everyone's either an old hippie or Grateful Dead, yeah. Or so.
Yeah.
So it was easy for us not having to have a suit on all the time and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, not that you guys dress bad by any means. I'm just saying, like, the typical entrepreneurial look, you know, is, like, you know, just that business look or the business casual dress and all that nonsense. Yeah, you guys are, you know, you get to do what you do and, you know, just be you, and I love that.
Well, a lot of it's the fake it till you make it mentality. And we're already at the second part, and we're making it,
yeah.
So we don't have to fake it anymore, so we can do what we want.
Yeah.
You know, before I used to make sure that I had to be, like, looking always on point. But honestly, at this point in time, I don't really care what people think about me. Mm-hmm. You know, not in an arrogant way, but, like, you know, if you think you're superior over me, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, this has been an absolutely amazing show. Probably, yeah, one of my favorites, I'll be honest. And yeah, just to wrap things up, one last question. And for each of you to answer, I'll go first with Ben. If there was one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you were starting out, what would that be? And I know it's kind of a tough question, so, you know,
you could think for a second.
Yeah, just anything. It doesn't have to be too monumental. Just something, you know, that you learned now that's, like, would be really helpful back then.
Honestly, I probably wouldn't hire good friends, because I've lost a lot of good friends. From either not wanting to work hard, mm-hmm. thinking it's a joke, and unfortunately even theft because of jealousy. And they say, like, why is he gonna go do this? Or so I get stuff missing. So that's probably my biggest thing is, mm-hmm. if you want, I mean, my best friend is our general manager. So I'm not gonna say don't hire friends at all,
mm-hmm.
but I have lost quite a bit of good friends from trying to give them an opportunity to work.
Yeah, so I guess what you're saying is it's not less about friends. It's more about really taking the time to think about and say, how does this person add value to them? And is it just the friendship or is this person valuable? And I think that's, yeah, that's
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I would have to say if like when we first started, one thing that I could tell them is that, you know, we were the first ones in Cobb County to sell electronic cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And I believe if we actually hopped onto the train of electronic cigarettes, like we were selling electronic cigarettes before Blues were on the shelf, you know? And if I could go back, I would create a company just like Blues to sell out to Camel. Mm-hmm. Or like create a company like Views and sell it to Marlboro. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys made billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think you guys are doing too bad for yourselves. I mean, you know, so.
Thank you.
Yeah. Told me a few things or so. But yeah, thank you guys for coming on. And if any of our listeners want to get in contact with you or anything, what would be the best way to contact you?
Check us out at cloud9smokeco.com or our 6 locations around the Metro Atlanta area. Or if you need to get direct contact with us, it's cloud9smokeco@gmail.com.
All right.
Yeah, you can either go on our website, or you can even go, if you'd like, on any of the social medias that we have, like at Cloud9Smokeco on Instagram.
Yeah, check us out on Instagram. We're the biggest smoke shop in the country on Instagram. We have over 32,000 followers.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're always posting all our crazy deals and all our cool products. So if you have any questions on anything, either message us there, we'll get back to you. Facebook is cool. As you said, the email, everything else. And we appreciate you guys. Thank you for
having us.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
I really appreciate it.
And yeah, once again, I am Darren Parkinson.
And I'm Adam Wozniak.
And we're Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.